And in Deuteronomy 21, we're going to pick up at verse number 10. Deuteronomy 21, at verse number 10, the Bible says this. When thou goest forth to war against thine enemies, and the Lord thy God hath delivered them into thine hands, and thou hast taken them captive, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and hast a desire unto her, that thou wouldest have her to be thy wife, and thou shalt bring her home to thine house, and she shall shave her head and pare her nails. And she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and shall remain in thine house and bewail her father and her mother a full month. And after that thou shalt go in unto her, and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. And it shall be, if thou have no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go whither she will. But thou shalt not sell her at all for money. Thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. Father, thank you for your word, and teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us. We pray, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. All right. Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. Once again, Moses is giving instruction to the children of Israel as they get ready to go into the land of promise, where they are going to have some battles, some wars. All right. And the Lord, knowing men better than men know men, and knowing that men will often desire marriage for mere external things, he sets up some rules and some things about certain situations that may arise. Now, before we delve into this, you may be wondering, Brother Doss, how does what we just read square with Deuteronomy 7? Well, let's go there. Deuteronomy 7. Because what's going on is the Lord is giving instruction about when you go to battle, you defeated the city, and among the captives there's a beautiful woman, and you're like, I want her to be my wife. And you take her. The Lord says, okay, but here's how you're going to do it. But yet in Deuteronomy 7, look at verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. So you may be wondering, well, brother, I don't understand it. How does the Lord says that in Deuteronomy 7. How does that square up with Deuteronomy 21? No problem at all. Because they were to slay all of those nations. They were to slay. This beautiful captive would be of the cities that God said that all you had to do was destroy the males. And you kept the women and the children. Go back to Deuteronomy 20. Deuteronomy 20. Look at verse 16. Deuteronomy 20, verse 16. But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. So this would not be a woman from among one of those cities or those people. This would be a woman that would be, go to Deuteronomy 10:20 and look at verse 10. This would be a woman that would fall under the category of verses 10 through 15. Look at this. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if it make the answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof shalt thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. Okay, so there you go. No contradiction, no problem whatsoever. This would be one of those cities that God said, proclaim peace. If it don't give you peace terms, then you slay all the males. The women and children you keep alive. So one of those women, if one of them was a beautiful captive, the Lord said, you can have her, but here's how it's to be done. So there's no contradiction whatsoever. Now let's get down to the meat of the things here in Deuteronomy 21. I want you to notice something. Because this has to do with what would be done when you saw a beautiful woman you wanted her to take to be your wife. This is how it was done. But I want you to notice. Notice you did not take the woman during the battle, but after the battle was over and she was a captive. Now, I told you this morning, I've never understood. In all the reading I've done about wars and battles, I've never understood. I don't understand it. How a man can be so wrought up in violence that in the heat of battle, he would want to rape a woman. I don't understand it. There just comes across a demonic, evil kind of spirit with that thing. Because, brethren, the Lord gave that kind of intimacy in the love of marriage. It is beyond me how an individual could even get himself into a state of mind to want that. There's something different to that kind of thing. There's something different to that. But yet it happens. And it is a bloodlust. It is a wicked, evil thing that when men will often go to battle and get so in the heat of things that they will rape women. It's horrible. It's horrible. First, I don't know how a man can do that. I don't know how a man can do it. And he's not much of a man. Not much of a man. It's wicked. It's evil. It is not how God set up. All right? Notice that in Deuteronomy 21, when you saw a beautiful woman, this was among the captives afterwards. And it was not rape, it was marriage. We wasn't living together, it was marriage. Okay? Well, no rape here, this thing. This was marriage. And notice again, I submit to you, notice it was done after the battle was over. Many a battle has been lost because the warriors stopped to plunder and rape and the battle turned back against them. If you read about the wars that the Arabs and the Israelis fought, when Israel was becoming a nation, time and again, that's exactly what happened. The Arabs would have won a battle and stop to take all their stuff, try to rape the women. And you know what the Jews would do? They would regroup, counterattack, and take the town or take the city or take the spot or whatever. Because the troops would get in disarray and they would stop to plunder or to rape or whatever. The Lord told the men of Israel, look, you don't deal with this kind of stuff till after the battle's over. The first task is fighting the battle. And plunder and spoil and even taking a wife from among them happens after. When it's time for the battle, it's time for fighting. Brethren, remember that you and I get some times here to catch our breath, but rest and plunder, spoil, and pleasure are on the other side. Remember that. Brethren, God gives us time here to catch our breath, but it's not this life that we're supposed to look for the fulfillment of rest and joy and the spoil of victory, if you will, and the reward. That's over there. That's over there. And that's something old saints used to understand, but in the Laodicean age we live in, everybody wants it now. And Luke 16, as we're going through the 5 o'clock, we'll see even more of this. Just remember, brethren, right now is the time for fighting. Now is the time for battle. And if you're not careful, brethren, you'll get so caught up with having things now that where you had made progress in your fight, the battle will turn against you because you started taking and trying to get spoil and things now rather than keeping up the battle. Don't forget that. Please don't. I'll tell you, many a battle's been lost. It has, because the warriors stopped to plunder and rape, and the battle turned back against them. All right. Notice again also, this was not rape in the heat of passion, but marriage after emotion has cooled. Once again, something happens in the heat of a battle. If a man especially doesn't know God, in the heat and passion of battle, something happens that I don't understand, and it ain't a good thing. But men can get to a place that they can't stop their violent action. Now listen to me, and listen to me good. That's why, listen to me, some of you boys, you're young, you got energy to you, and a lot of things look interesting, but you don't understand the damage that can be done to you. You do not understand the damage that can be done to you when you get a mindset of just kill, kill, kill. Is there a time for killing? Yes, there is. We live in a day and an hour. We live in a world after the fall that, yes, there's a time that has to be war. But it should be because there is a reason for it that is unavoidable. And young men, be careful, because if you go and get yourself in a mindset of a warrior killing mentality, it might not be that easy to turn it off. You know, my dad, he's approaching death, all right? And my sister went and got redone all the his decorations, his Purple Heart, his Bronze Star, different things that he got, and got them new ones done up. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing. I appreciate it. And she got him really for me, and I appreciate it. And it's a blessing. My dad was there with the stuff. Let me tell you something. My dad got saved, and though he knew that there was a time and place for that stuff, he didn't have a killer mentality. Because he realized as a believer, that's not the mentality. Those things have to happen if they have to happen. But young men, I'm going to tell you something. You better be careful. There are things you can delve in and get involved with that'll mess with your psyche, that'll mess with your mind and emotions that aren't good. And I'm going to tell you something. The young boys, these games like Call of Duty and this and that and the other, I don't know what they're like. I've just heard the name. You better be careful. Because if you're sitting there picking off a deer is one thing. Picking off a man and blood spurting out, uh-uh. That ain't good. It's not good at all. Professing Christians going around watching some of this stuff that's been watched today and participate in and the UFC stuff and all. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Read your Bible and justify it. I don't care what preacher justified it. I don't care what person you know that's a believer justifies it. Read your Bible and justify it. And that's just truth. Now listen. Here's the deal. All right? Y'all understand something. Something happens. There was a guy. His name was Lewis Millett. And Lewis Millett was a colonel, whatever, in World War II and Korea. And he was known as the top knife fighter in the army at that time. He was outstanding with a bayonet. He was outstanding with a knife. And there was a rumor had gotten around that the Chinese had said that the Americans were afraid of cold steel. Because there's something about it. I mean, your death, dying is dying, but there's something about something slicing you versus something penetrating through you and making a hole. There's something about slicing that just... So they had heard a rumor, Americans don't like cold steel. So he was like, that was an offense to him. So he trained his unit, and he trained them well in use of the bayonet and the knife, and knives, especially bayonets. Okay, now listen to me. The last bayonet charge recorded in the United States Army was done in Korea. He led them in a bayonet charge, and he carried the hill. All right. I think it was S.L.A. Marshall, Army historian, who was researching the battle afterwards. Because that's what they do. You got to piece it all together, learn stuff from it. And he noticed something different. He said, in interviewing the guys, he goes, usually in war when men have a bayonet charge like that, it's hard for them to stop killing. And they go around killing cows, dogs, anything they can get a hold of. And the men look down. This is your Mississippi? The men looked down and said, well, what happened to us? But we were kind of ashamed to talk about it. Because you know what happens? You get in such a rush and a bloodlust that you can't stop. And it's happened more than once. That once there's no more humans, it starts on dogs, it starts on cows, it starts on goats, and they can't stop. It's just kill. You like that, boys? Don't you want? Listen to me. I ain't cutting down nothing. We need Jeremy. Amen. You're critical. We need men. Thank God. There's things. What I'm telling you is, be careful, gentlemen. Be careful. Be careful. You can get yourself in a mindset that is not good. You think you can cut it off? If you don't come to know the Lord, there's something in there that can trip with you and can cause some problems later on. I'm just telling you, you better be real careful. You better be real careful. It happened. Listen, you ever seen two dogs and try to stop them? What do they do? that turn on you. You get somebody worked up to a fever pitch, they'll have them not stop. And they're no longer in control. They'll kill anything. They'll rape. They'll do. I'm just telling you. I'm not sitting up here saying this as a pacifist. I know there's time for a war. I understand that. But young fellas, you also need to understand something. Things are not like you may seem. And I love you and I care about you. You better be careful. You understand? Now, that being said, notice that the Lord, they were not allowed to take this woman in battle. The battle had to be done and over with. And by the way, look, God's people, when they went to war, well, they take heads off. But I think it was also understood, if you'll see, there was a matter of a righteous cause and not a thing to where it was just total abandonment, to where something takes over you, to where it's like rape, pillage, taking just a blood, and even killing animals, just going. Listen, this was not rape in the heat of passion. It was marriage after emotion is cool. Now, I want to make a point with this. If you don't have self-control, if you can't control your body and passion, you will get yourself in a major fix concerning marriage. Do you understand me? If you don't have self-control, if you can't control your body and passion, you will get yourself in a fix. Let passion cool and think the thing through. Let passion cool and think the thing through. God said, you don't take her in the heat of battle. You finish the battle once she's a captive. Okay. Then if she catches your eye, okay. Once the battle's over. Once passion has cooled a little bit. Listen, what are we to think? Has God played a dirty trick on us by taking young men and young women and getting their bodies to where they respond attractiveness in the opposite sex, and yet they have this youth and vitality and attraction? And has God played a dirty trick on us? No. Well, I can't help how I feel. We as parents are supposed to teach them self-restraint and self-control. You're not a young man and you're not a young woman until you learn to control yourself. What separates some of these kids and these little kids in here? What separates them from being infants and toddlers, from being a little more grown up? They don't wet themselves no more. They control themselves. You understand? The ability to control oneself. That's the mark of adulthood, of growing. That's the mark of a man or woman. And you know what? It's the mark of a young man or young woman, the ability to control yourself. To control yourself. And you got to teach that. And one thing, too, is not allow a bunch of idleness, because when you get idle, things happen.
Yep. Amen.
That's just the truth. That's just a solid fact. So again, if you can't control yourself, if you just act in the passion, in the heat and passion of emotion, you're going to get yourself in a fix. Listen, they were there. I want to remind you also, they were there to fight a battle first. A wife came later. What are you saying, Brother Dawson? Put first things first. You don't use church or a meeting to look for a wife. No, sir. You don't go around to meetings or churches to go look for a mate. No, sir. You're there to get help from God. What you're saying to the Lord is, Lord, I'm using the things of you for me. I'm using the things of you for me. Rather, if you'll put God first and by your actions show Him that you trust Him to take care of those things. That's a faith, God-honoring way that God can work in. Not a matter of, I'm going to use these things to get what I want. No, you come to church to grow in God. You go to a meeting to grow in God. Those things. Let things develop on their own. Truly put the Lord first. Now listen. What do we see in this? We see that undeniably men marry at times for physical beauty. Now can I say this to you? The Lord doesn't condemn this as long as they act according to His Word. Okay? Lord doesn't condemn it. as long as they act according to His word. Listen, the Lord doesn't condemn it. It's just like God, listen, it's just like debt isn't sin, but it becomes sin if you don't pay it. All right? Marrying a woman because she's beautiful, that's not sin. It just may not be very smart. Well, what's wrong with that? Nothing, but a lot more to it than that. As we're going to see here. Better be compatible. Man, I'm telling you, many a man has missed a treasure because of something that catches the eye or whatever. I'm serious. Look here. Listen, notice, as we shall see, physical beauty is not always all you think it is. Notice that, look, this requirement is not required. Well, I'll say this. Notice that this requirement. You see, Brother Doss, what requirement? Okay. She comes home, shaves her head, and pares her nails, and puts her raiment off of her, and puts on evidently raiment of mourning. This was not required of every marriage. It wasn't. This was only required of a one taken captive and desired because of her beauty. This is not how marriages were usually done among God's people. You not see that a woman had to shave her head or that's not the regular way. This was a different circumstance. She was a captive. She was not of the people of Israel. Now she couldn't be one of those nations that God said destroy them all. This is one of those other cities. God said, okay, she's a captive. You think she's beautiful. You want to marry her. Okay. But she's going to shave her head first and pare her nails down and put her raiment of captivity off from her. And she's going to mourn for a month. And then. Now, there's a couple things here to notice, really is. Notice she used to put off her raiment of captivity. Well, what would be raiment of captivity? From what I gathered, a lot of times women in a city that was under siege or would put on very attractive clothing, hoping to catch someone's eye so they wouldn't kill them. So raiment of captivity. Notice it didn't say raiment, did it? It said raiment of captivity. So a lot of times women would put clothes like that on to hoping like, well, maybe they'll catch their eye. Maybe they'll have some mercy on me. All right. But she was to put that off and put on evidently mourning clothing because she's going to mourn for a month. Now, listen, I want you to notice some things. You got to stay with me. This was a captive and it was different than a marriage with someone of the land. He couldn't ask for her dad's hand. Her dad was dead. He'd been no doubt killed in the battle. He couldn't ask her brothers. They'd been put to death. He couldn't purchase her. There was nobody to pay. Her father and brothers would have been dead. Go to Deuteronomy 20, verse 13. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male. That'd be her daddy. That'd be her brothers. That'd be everything. Her uncles. With the edge of the sword. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. All right. So she was a captive. There was no, and by the way, there was no ceremony. He just took her to his house. Now, I want you to notice something. Even though he took her to his house, she did not become his wife till after that month was over. She did not become. So you know what? So there's going to be a month here before she becomes his wife. There's going to be a month of her not having nice, attractive clothes on, but evidently mourning clothes most likely, shaved head, nails pared down. Think she still looks good, bud? Think about it. Just because he took her into his house at first, they were not married. They got married after that. They were married after that month was over. A couple of things. Stay with me. Notice what it says. Verse 11, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and hast a desire unto her that thou wouldest have her to thy wife, then thou shalt bring her home to thine house, and she shall shave her head and pare her nails, and she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and shall remain in thine house, and bewail her father and her mother a full month, and after that thou shalt go in unto her, and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. Okay? So she was there in the house. So notice the first thing is, once he, so there's the battle. It's over. Battle's over. The business was taken care of. Battles first. That's a pretty lady. That's a, you know what? I'll take her for my wife. Come on. What are you going to do? Get her daddy's hand. He's dead. Get her talk to her brothers, talk to her uncle. All the males are dead. Come on. So he takes her. And he says, and to her, his house, you know, get that stuff off. Puts on again, evidently morning clothes because she's going to bewail her parents. All right. Got to shave your head. Pair your nails. All right. Now, notice to say, the Bible says, then thou shalt bring her home to thine house. He took her back to his house, which means he had means of supporting her. He had means of supporting her. Doesn't say, listen, I'll say this. Y'all, means of supporting her. Brethren, we got to understand today, when you love somebody more than you love yourself, you make sacrifice. And what you do in that, you grow. You grow, you get close. Man, me and Sarah didn't have, I mean, really, it was paycheck to pay, you know, there's not, but what matters is each other. Not things we can do. Just spend time together. Be careful. Be careful, y'all. Be careful. We have a spoiled generation coming up that thinks they have to have money and things to be able to do things to gratify flesh or what I want and miss out on truly, truly treasurable things. That's where we're at. That's exactly where we're at today. All right? Look here. She had means of supporting her. Supporting her. Supporting her. Doesn't mean to a great level of just, amen. About food and raiment? Amen. Look at this. For a month, she put off her clothes of captivity and probably put on morning clothes. She shaved her head, paired, clipped her nails. Now, all this happened before they became husband and wife. You know what? Can you imagine that? And you met for a month. Wow. Whoa. Let's be honest. He might be thinking, I hope she never loses her hair. I'm serious. Because this thing is based on what? Nothing but beauty. You know her. Nothing but beauty. So it's like, notice how the Lord does this. And that's some beautiful woman. God says, okay. She's got to shave her head. For a month. No hair. Pair her nails down. And evidently, she probably had morning clothes on because she's mourning. Wow. By the way, brethren, with mourning, you're not decorating yourself up. In mourning, you are. So it's like, I'd imagine, ain't no makeup, ain't no nothing, buddy. Shaved head, pared down. Can you imagine? It's like, oh boy. If she ever loses her hair, this is going to be interesting. Now think about it. See, the difference is, when you love somebody, there's just something that transcends all that. You don't think about that. You're in it because you love them. And you care about that person. And it don't matter if. But you understand? But why? What's this? This is based on what? Beauty. I didn't say that beauty can't figure in whatever your idea of beauty is. I didn't say that. I'm just saying. You might want to build on something stronger than that. And boy, the Lord said it up to where you have to think that thing through. She was beautiful, right? Okay, there goes the hair. And the Bible says one's hair is her glory, right? And it's gone. And again, she probably had the morning clothes on, not getting dolled up in any kind of way. And just, so here it is. So for a month, she does this. Now again, all this happened before they became husband and wife. You know what? It is good to see a person made bare and pared down to see how they really are. And you know what I mean by made bare. You know what I'm saying? It is good to see a person stripped down of external ways they're doing and see what they really are. And you know what you need to do at times? We're going to spiritualize some of what physically happened here. It'd be a good thing. It'd be a good thing, young folks, to ask the Lord, Lord, strip them down and pare them down and let me see what's really there. Strip them down and pare them down and let me see what's really there. And Lord, let this person see what I really am. See what I really am. And it's an important thing to do. Because listen now. This one's based on nothing but beauty. But for a month, have beauty stripped down. Here's what you got. Still want it? Because they're not married, that month's up. You want it? Strip down. Here it is. Here it is. Look here. It's good to ask the Lord. Lord, strip them down. And me too, Lord. Let them see what the real deal here is. Because very often, brother, the best foot's going to be put forward. The best, but to see what's really there. What's really there. And how things really are. Young folks, I'm just trying to give you some good counsel, some wise things to do. I never knew he had a temper like that. Man, I didn't know she was so... She always seemed so... I know your baby's going to be baby to see everything, but pray. Mm-hmm. Pray if you can. Yep. If you can. I mean, that'd be a bad thing to say, why should God answer my prayer? I don't even know him. I don't care about knowing him. I want to do what I want to do. And I'm going to now help him, ask him to help me find the right mate. Put some things in perspective. But I'm serious now. Listen to me. Listen, she's pared down, made bare to see what's there. Notice something. She wasn't getting dolled up. She was getting dumped down. Seriously. There was no dolling up. Head shaved, nails pared, morning clothes. That's dumping down. That ain't dolling up. And here it is. It's almost as if to say, still want her? Now, you know what? Love takes and says, I love that person. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I love that person. Yep. And they are beautiful and wonderful to me. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, y'all. Young folks, if you miss out on it, you missed out on one of the most glorious things that there is in life that God allows you to have.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you that right now. If you miss out on it, you miss out on one of the most glorious things that can be had. You know, in this life, sin has cursed everything. But there's some things God has given to be able to enjoy that are right. And in marriage and commitment and love of someone other than oneself can give you something wonderful that God has put His approval upon. Now, if you look and say, oh, I don't have it and I'll never have it, get right with God. Two people pulling together for the Lord. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. But you know what? You'll never get there trying to get another person right. If you try to get somebody else right or worry about them getting right, you'll never get there. Just worry about always yourself walking with God. But I assure you, if you're ever always trying to get the other person right, you can forget it. Get used to what you've got because you're going to have it till the day you die. But if we concern ourselves with us, well, something, God can do some of that. Now, listen. What's she supposed to be doing this month? Bewailing her parents. Now, see, he's watching her, right? Because they're not married till that month is done. He's watching her. So now she's done, I'll be careful I'll say, she's dumped down. I mean, and it ain't just... She shaved her head, but now it's a little prickly growing back. That's rough. That's rough. Now listen, happens to cancer patients. But people, are we to say that it looks nice? No, it doesn't. It doesn't look nice. That doesn't look nice at all. But let me tell you something. Somebody loves that person, they love them. They love them. I'm telling you what God said to do, to pare that thing down and make it look. So her hair's growing back a little bristly, you know. Come on, let's face it, man. Her head's going to feel like his beard, his face sometimes. I mean, that thing's coming back, huh? Pared her nails down. Got to go. But what's she supposed to be doing this month? Bewailing her parents. She's supposed to be in mourning. Look what it says. Look what it says. It says, shall remain and bewail her father and mother a full month. She's supposed to be wailing them. She's lost them. Well, you know what else he's watching? She's supposed to be in mourning, bewailing her parents. What if she's not? What if she's just going through the motions? You know what that might clue, him in on? You know what? We defeated her family in battle and have taken her out. And she ain't too upset about it. Now, it would be one thing if she was shed some tears going, you know, Zachariah, I know you've taken me and I miss my... But you know, y'all have the true God and I'm glad to be here. I think God's ordained it. That's one thing. But if it's a matter of... Then he might get to thinking, you know what? If she don't care that much about her family, she ain't going to care about me. Because remember, they ain't married yet. And he's watching her. And how her attitude toward her family, if he's smart, he'll realize, I know I ain't perfect. I'm probably going to have my bad days. I don't know about this thing. Listen, that would probably also clue him in. Guys, I'm going to tell you, as she treats dad, she's probably going to treat you the same way, giving her enough time. Not at first. You'll hang the moon. You've rescued her. You're the guy on the white horse, the prince in shining armor. Till she gets used to you. Till you won't dance to her tune. You'll find out. Fellas, as she treats dad, she's probably going to do you. Okay? And I'll tell you something. As she treats mom, fellas, as he treats mom, fellas, yeah, obviously come back the same way. I'm just saying this was a time of observation, and not just how she's looking with a shaved head, but is she, what's that? How's this bewailing stuff? Yeah, he might, after a couple weeks, go, I'm right here. Maybe you sit down and talk to her about it. Don't you miss your family? Huh? What? Yeah, but this is wholly different and new than what you've been around. I mean, don't you miss... If he's smart, he'll be like, that girl's out for herself. She's out for herself. And he'll realize, thank the Lord for this month. Thank the Lord for at least for this month, I can see some things here. All right, listen. Since she was a captive, no divorce decree was needed. It's interesting, isn't it? This is not a regular marriage. She's a captive. There's no divorce decree needed. After they became husband and wife, look what it says. Verse 14, and it shall be, if thou have no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go whither she will. But thou shalt not sell her at all for money. Thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. So after they had become husband and wife, after they had had relations, after he had humbled her, if he ended up not having any delight in her, there was no divorce decree needed here. Because this was not... Now listen, this don't apply to anybody in this room, bud. This was Israel fighting against the enemy, and this don't even apply. All right, as we're going to see. But in that case, he just let her go. Because she was a captive. See, in the Bible signifies between a captive and a person who has freedom given to them. There's a difference there. And her spiritual connotations with all that kind of thing. Anyway, she was just simply let go. He could not sell her for money. He couldn't make merchandise of her. He was not allowed to make profit off of her because he had humbled her. He had lain with her. All right. Now listen, you don't have such an option. Go to 1 Corinthians 7. Don't even think about it. 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Verse Corinthians 7, verse 10. And unto the married I command you not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified to the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. We looked at it last week. The only grounds for divorce in the New Testament that you find are sexual immorality, flesh with flesh, and the unbelieving departing. Now, I mention it, and I'll say it again. Brethren, lust of the heart is not grounds for grounds for divorce in the Bible. Do you understand that? So, well, Jesus said they commit adultery in the heart. Well, wait a minute. What did Jesus also say hatred of the heart is? Murder. So, are you going to bring somebody up to be put to death because they hated somebody in their heart? Are you going to bring somebody and bring them up to be put to death because they hated somebody in their heart? No, you're not. Because that is a matter of the heart. If it becomes physical and they kill the person, that's murder. Lust is adultery of the heart. That is not grounds for divorce. That only becomes when it's flesh and flesh. What is murder? Flesh killing flesh. What is adultery? Flesh laying with flesh. What is murder of the heart? Hatred. What is adultery of the heart? Lust. But that's not grounds to put somebody to death by the law. It's not a grounds for divorce. Do y'all understand that? There's some cockeyed thinking out there that's going to mess some folks up. You understand? They say it's right. Hatred of the heart and lust of the heart is wrong. But those are matters to be dealt with God. When flesh and flesh, then that becomes a different matter. Keep yourself balanced and careful, brethren. Get yourself in a fix. All right, look here. So what would have called, go back to Deuteronomy 20 again. What would have caused him to have no delight in her? Because look what it says. It shall be if thou have no delight in her. Then thou shalt let her go whether she will, but thou shalt not sell her at all for money. Thou shalt not be merchandise of her because thou hast humbled her. So they got married as far as the month was over. He laid with her. They were now husband and wife. But he doesn't find no delight in her. Since she's a captive, he can let her go. But what would have caused him to not have delight in her? Because now think about it. Stay with me. What first attracted him? It was beauty, right? It says it, right? And when thou seest a beautiful woman among the captives. So beauty attracted, right? Okay. So for a month, the beauty's gone. Come on, shaved head, pared down nails. Okay. But after that, while they've come together as husband and wife, and hey, her glory is coming back in. Her hair's grown. All right. So whatever made her beautiful to start with outwardly, it's back. So this delight is evidently something different. Are you with me? The beauty that first attracted him, it's still there. It comes back now. It's just a month. It starts coming back. So that's still there. But there's something, though. There's something that says, man, this is killing it. There's something more than, isn't it? There's something more than just physical beauty. There's something more that can just cause you to say, forget. The delight evidently had to do with something other than physical beauty because that is still there. So this delight is something else. Her beauty was still there. Her body was still there. It had to have been something with attitude. Go to Proverbs 11. Fellas. You're going to have to get along with her. You're going to have to spend time with her. Man, it's got a lot better if you want to. I mean, look, what makes you think if y'all can't be alone and talk and enjoy each other's company, when you're courting, dating, whatever you want to call it, whichever way you want to do, semantics most of the time, what makes you think you're going to once you get married? If you can't spend time together and like to be with one another and enjoy each other's company, let me tell you something. If you've got to have other people with you or you can't discuss things, if you've got to have something going on and you can't talk, do you think once you get married that's going to get better? No, the beauty was still there. This having no delight had to do with something other than beauty, because that's still there. Just that month, you know, it all comes back. No doubt it was attitude. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Do y'all think it would be very proper or would look right to take a fine piece of jewelry and put it in a hog's nose? And have it just root around? Just wasting it, right? You know what? So also is a fair woman which is without discretion. That can't keep her mouth shut. Brassy, bossy. Don't know her place. She may be beautiful. That fades, bud. That fades real quick. Real quick. Hey, he married for beauty. So this delight that he's no longer finding, it has to do with physical beauty now. It's something different. Discretion. Young girls, there's a great and valuable and high price on knowing how to handle yourself. Some girls don't talk, but they do it because they're stuck up. That's wrong. That's not good. Some don't know how to talk. They never stop talking. They step out of line. Let me tell you something, girls. Remember this. You may find a boy that will like some brassy, bold talk, but if he's decent, he wouldn't have you. Some of y'all, you know what? You remember in high school, right? You remember in high school, there were girls that, boy, they were, people laugh, not with them, at them. And they'd get them going. They'd egg them on. They wouldn't have them for a minute. They were a freak show. They were a sideshow. Get them going. Get them going. Get them to where you can get them to say things or say certain things or get them. Ain't nobody have them, though. They used them for sideshow, freak show, just to get them going. Discretion. You need discretion. All right, take your Bible. Go to Proverbs 21. Verse 9. Proverbs 21, 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Wow. You do know, just to show you the differences between men and women, you do know that it never says in the Bible it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling man. That book makes a difference between the role of a man and a woman in marriage. Think what you will. Think what you will. I know we're in a confused day. I know we're in a day where even professing believers don't have an idea of what it means to be a man in a home and a woman. I understand that. But God's Word makes some distinctions. It never says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling man. Oh, that man I'm not going to put up with. No. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman who won't be quiet. Constant. Because a man knows I can't hit her. I can't hit her. It ain't right. It ain't right to hit her. I can't do that. And it's like, I can't win for losing. If I say something, I don't win. If I do say something, I can't win. And he's just like, just a corner. In the corner. Put me in a corner. I'll just stare at it. Put me in a corner. And if you think I'm exaggerating, I've talked to individuals in prison. I told y'all before, I knew a man who told me, he said, Pastor, he said, God saved my life. It's no doubt my life got saved by getting put in prison because I went in the woods and I had the hole dug where I was going to put everybody at. He dug the hole. He dug the hole. He said, I was going to put her in it. He said, I just went ahead and got in trouble, did something wrong. He said, I was going to kill her. And he said, what has she done to him? Constant on his back. Constantly on his back. Constantly on him. Listen, it doesn't matter what you constantly ride a man about. If you're constantly riding him, you're still riding him. Well, I don't ride my husband about bad things, only about good things, and so I can make him the man he ought to be. That ain't your place. You ain't his mom. You understand? You constantly ride. It doesn't matter if it's about good things. You're riding. Take your Bible. Go to Proverbs 27. Verse 15. Proverbs 27, verse 15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. It's Chinese water torture. Guy snaps. Oh, don't get me wrong. Ladies, don't get me wrong. Men, we're going to stand for God.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes, sir.
Guys do right. Yeah. They either get right, like it, or hit the road. Not that you're putting them out. No, I'm saying that. I mean, they can't stand the pressure of it. You do right. But we're just reading Bible. Look what it says next. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. You want a man, you know often men do when they have a woman who will not know her place, cannot keep her mouth shut. You know what they try to do? They try to hide her. What do you mean try to hide her? They try to make excuses for her. Well, she's just sick. Well, she's just this. Well, she's got this illness, or she's got this. And you know what? You can't hide the truth. Like, you can't hide it no more. You can hide the wind or the ointment of the right hand. Brother, if you put ointment on your right hand, on your hand, you can't hide it. What is that? What is that? You're going to sense it. Let me tell you something, fellas. If you make excuse for a messed up woman, you ain't fooling nobody. The essence escapes and it don't work. You can't hide it. Some try to do it, but it don't work. It's a miserable way to be, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Ladies, I'm just telling you this because, listen, what did the devil do when he made his first move to bring down man? Who did he make his move toward? The key was bringing down him. Who needed to be brought down? Adam. So who did he go to? Eve. To bring down Joseph, Potiphar's wife. David was, ladies, the devil's going to always try to use you. That's where you've got to be so careful. Anyway, the point we're making here is he found no delight in her. It had nothing now to do with beauty because she still got her beauty. It had to do, no doubt, with attitude. Attitude. Outward beauty may get his eye, but it will not keep his heart. Outward beauty will get his eye, but it will not keep his heart. Young men, you need to ask yourself, does she have your heart or only your eye? It's sad. Even girls in churches, they do the same. They put the same emphasis that the world does. Let me get his eye. Let me get his eye. Okay? That may initially get something. But it ain't going to keep the heart. And so we settle in for a life of, the Bible says we can't get divorced. We'll just deal with it. It doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But it takes a radical looking at our own self and saying, oh God, search me, try me, know me, purge me, cleanse me. Now I'm just serious as I can be. Young folks, I'm telling you. Young girls, you may get his eye. That's not going to keep his heart. It's not going to keep his heart. So real quick, how could he come to have delight in her? Now she's beautiful. And she still got her beauty. But how, but he finds no delight in her. So how can he find delight in her? What can she do? What can she do to where he finds delight in her? If she delights herself in him. If she delighted herself in him. If some women worked as hard to please a man's heart as they did his eye, there could be some good marriages. In other words, If each person in a marriage says, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I don't even go worry about how I get done. I want to bless you. Now, I know I'm probably, after 30 years, I'm not giving up yet. After 30 years, you almost sometimes feel like, what is the use? But I know it's the use because the Word says it. Jeremiah said, I'm tired. He said, I'm tired of saying. He goes, but Lord, it's like a burden in his heart. What I'm telling you is, brother, who's going to be the one that'll say that I believe what Jesus said? And I'm not going to worry about how I get done. I'm just going to try to bless.
That's right.
Who'll believe it? Who will believe it? And really do it? And you know what? Things get handled your own way and nothing changes.
That's right.
And so somebody says, well, no, if the other person would, that's the whole. You never get it. Never get it. Go to Acts 20. Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things. How the so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You can't lose. When you die to a thing of like, how I get done, and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to bless. You lose yourself in the joy of that. That'll work in every room of your house.
Yes,
probably never been, I'd imagine, a generation more caught up with bedroom problems than this generation. Because you know why? Everybody's like, me, I'm unfulfilled. I'm unsaid. Brethren, it's more blessed to give than receive. I'm going to lose myself in pleasing this person. And you can't lose. You can't lose. Can you imagine two people like, I'm going to bless you. No, I'm going to bless you. No, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. But the problem is you can't get to the place where, well, they're not blessing me now. No, see, you're missing it. You're missing it. Jesus said it is more blessed to the... Brethren, we are going to get home and realize... Preacher was right. Because the Bible's right. Not me. You know what I'm saying? But he was reading what the Bible said and it's right. And I could have had a measure of some joy, but I wouldn't do it because it was still to be about me. I refused to lose myself for the other person, for God, for others. And then the one thing that'll mess us all always up is me. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. He found no delight in her. How could she have delighted him? By trying to bless him instead of herself. You think that wouldn't have took something? She was captive. She didn't even have any say-so in it. A free woman could say yes or no. She didn't have a say. You do notice that, right? You do notice that he didn't say, you get her permission. You go talk to her father. You pay a dowry. The Bible speaks of that when someone was free. This one wasn't free. That's why when she was let go, he couldn't make merchandise of her, but there was no divorce. He just let her go, right? Because she wasn't free. He didn't ask her. He took her. All right? So you can imagine how she felt. I ain't got no say in this. So here's a woman has no say in it. Ladies, you had a say in your marriage. You had a say in your marriage. She had no say in it. She's taken in. Look what I had to go through. I had to shave my head and pare my nails and wear this for a month in this man's house. Hey, this man has killed my parents. He's killed my father. He's killed my uncle. He's killed my brothers. And now I'm supposed to be his wife. Kind of be hard to have some feelings there. But if she gets an attitude, if she's sullen, if she just takes and, okay, here I am, here's my body. After a while, he's going to say, hit the road. So how could she delight him? She'd have to totally get out of herself and say, well, here it is. I'll make this man happy, because if I don't, I'm done for. I'll hit the road. And she'd have to lose herself in trying to please a man that she didn't even have a say-so in the thing. Don't you get it, folks? Don't you get it? And that's in a situation like that. There's a key here. There's a simple thing. The problem that gets in the way is us and our flesh. But there's victory and there's joy in getting out of ourself and doing regardless of what's to us, but showing love and trying to bless even though we be not blessed. And if anybody set the standard for us, it was who? The Savior. Who but Jesus could have got down and gone, it just ain't right. I'm not done what they've accused me of. I ain't done nothing. All I've done is love them. All I've done. And look what they do. Who could have pleaded total innocence and unjustness but Christ? And what did he do? And the Bible sets him up as our example, as we're to be. And if we're saved, if we have the Holy Ghost, we can do that. Brethren, if you can't do that, you are either lost and need to be born again, or you're stubborn and refuse. But that's not what we want to hear. We always want God to do something else to the other person instead of us doing what we're supposed to do and can do if God dwells within us. Brethren, it's just right.
Amen.
And brethren, up ahead lies the Lord. It's no time for things we want to hear. God help us all.
Yes, sir.
God search me, try me, know me. Me, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And show me the ungodly way in me.
Yes, sir.
And help us to be as we're supposed to be and can be if the Lord dwells within us. More blessed to give than receive. Well, how about delighting the Lord? How can we do that? It's the last thing. But how about giving delight to Him? We'll go to Psalm 37. Now, I want to tell you something. I love you. I say this in love. What I'm saying this morning hits me as much as it hits you. Now, if you don't like it, you can find someplace else. You can find something on the internet. You can find someplace else. But I want to tell you something. What you're hearing is right and truthful and book.
Amen.
And you can get something to tickle your ears and say what you want it to say, but you're fooling yourself.
Amen.
Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Because when you delight yourself in the Lord, your desires will be right. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. See, the Bible, what the Lord say about, what did David say the Lord said about David? He delighted in me. David said God delighted in him. Why? Delight thyself also in the Lord. That's a psalm of David. Do you know why God delighted in David? Because David delighted himself in God. Would you like someone to delight in you? Delight yourself in them. Well, you know what? See, you're waiting on something to stir the feeling in you. You're still waiting for them to make the first move. You're waiting for them to do something that'll cause you to want to. You're never going to get it. You just don't get it, do you? Listen, that woman, if she wanted him to lie to him, what could she do? Even if she was a captive, she had to make a choice to do that. Naaman's little maid, she had a burden for Naaman. Daniel had a burden for Nebuchadnezzar. These were people who got out of themselves. God delighted in David because David delighted himself in the Lord. You want someone to delight in you? Delight yourself in them as unto God. I can't. Yes, you can if you're saved. Yes, you can. You just won't. If you can't, you need to be born again. Christ needs to live within. Amen. If he does, you need to be willing to. As unto God. It can liberate you to get out of yourself and quit worrying about how you're done. Mm-hmm. Because if you do that, you will go to your grave a miserable person.
Yep.
Say what you will. My daddy's got faults like anybody else. And any faults he has, he'll answer to God with. But I'll tell you this. It was the sweetest thing to be there with him this week. And see when I left, the peace and the look on his face. And it was just wonderful. But you know something I believe enabled him to do that? He never sat around bitter about any way he had been done coming up or any way that was ever. It was useless. Why do that and rob yourself of what you can have? Why allow that to happen? And he was able to because the Lord dwells within him. Listen. God can do all things. Young folks, man, there's some good counsel in these verses to help you out and keep you from making some of the mistakes that others out there make. Now, you might not like it, young folks, because you know what? You're thinking and looking at things the way the world does. And you know what? You'll pick up the troubles they have. And you know what? You won't want to come around because you'll know you've been told right and you'll be ashamed. And you'll think, oh, at church, they just think I'm another goof up. I'm another. No, nobody thinks that at all. People love you, but you'll let the devil blind you. I told you this morning, we got a text about a young man that tried to hang himself today. I guess he's now probably in his, he's probably in his 40s or late 30s, early 40s. But we knew him when he was just barely out of his teens. And you know what he wanted? What he wanted was what it's like out there. He felt like that others looked at him as just like a mess up or problem child. He wanted to go around and go to different places like the world went to. He wanted to have. And he did. Yeah. Look at him now. Didn't satisfy. I love you. All I can do is warn you and tell you. There's some good counsel here this morning from the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Concerning things about marriage. Young girls, you may get his eye, but what about his heart? And if things aren't like you'd like it to be, what are you going to do about it? He let her go if he found no delight. So she needed to delight him. And it was going to take more than beauty. The way to delight him was to delight herself in him. It's the same way we get the Lord to delight in us. Delight in ourselves in him. Father. There's some stuff here to chew on, Lord. Lord, if all we do today is leave this assembly and go out here just like normal and just, how about that? Well, that was interesting. Lord, we're deceiving ourselves. Father, wherever you have pricked our heart, help us, Lord, to own up to it. Acknowledge it before you. Confess, Lord, anything needs to be confessed before you. And Lord, take appropriate measures. Oh, Father, help us to believe you. Help us, Lord, to realize that, Lord, so much of victory and joy could be ours, but we refuse to do what you said and we want it done our way. Help us, Father. Please help us. Help us to chew on and break down and assimilate what you've given us. And, oh, Father, my God in heaven, if there's anyone here, dear God, that's never been born again, draw them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Father, bring them to a place of repentance toward thee, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, open their eyes. And Father, I ask you, please bind the powers of darkness from, Lord, blinding minds and hearts from seeing and understanding what your word has for us. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.